Coming up on KUCB News, it's still unclear if a new appointment by the governor will affect the DOC's inmate work program, and a possible Unalaska dredging project has passed several milestones, though there are more to come. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Thursday, December 6th, 2018. While construction is still years away, a proposal to streamline shipping traffic through the port of Dutch Harbor has cleared several early hurdles. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has finished a two-year feasibility study, recommended a dredging project, and won initial approval from the Unalaska City Council. Planner George Calley says the Corps is looking to blast out and scoop away a bar that hampers navigation into Illilook Bay. By removing that dense 16-foot shoal, he says vessels would be able to maneuver through the entrance channel more easily at a comfortable 58-foot depth.
The bar is really the only constraint out there. It's surrounded by deep water on both sides.
By improving access to that deep water, Kelly says ships wouldn't have to take such costly, time-consuming measures to make it over the bar and into port. Currently, vessels reduce their drafts by taking lighter loads, discharging ballast water, and skipping refueling stops.
Our proposed project won't result in deeper draft vessels coming in. It's just going to result in a more efficient use of those vessels coming in, more efficient commerce with the existing fleet you already have.
Ports Director Peggy McLaughlin says the project would also improve safety. In bad weather, vessels wouldn't have to wait outside port before attempting to cross the bar, and they wouldn't have to transfer fuel in open water.
There's a tremendous amount of lightering for fuel tankers that happens outside of the port, but in open water on anchor. I mean, we've been very fortunate, and the companies that do that are very responsible, but there's risk associated with that. So there's some risk reduction and mitigation that happens if this opens up.
Before making its recommendation, the Corps mapped the seafloor's topography, conducted marine mammal surveys, and modeled the effects of wave and wind patterns. The feasibility study found no evidence that the project will necessitate frequent maintenance dredging, increase erosion on Front Beach, or require a lengthy environmental impact statement. Instead, engineers say they expect to need a simpler environmental assessment, along with federal permits allowing the use of blasting explosives that will likely disturb marine mammals for a time. Those details would be worked out further in a formal design process if the Corps headquarters signs off on the estimated $29 million project. Higher-level federal officials are scheduled to discuss the issue for the first time next week. Meanwhile, Unalaska's City Council has unanimously voted in favor of moving ahead with a design. If the project is ultimately approved, the city would be responsible for about half of the total cost, around $14 million. It is too soon to say whether the appointment of a new state corrections commissioner will affect the inmate work program that Unalaska is scheduled to join this winter. New Governor Mike Dunleavy announced yesterday that he has picked state legislator Nancy Dahlstrom to lead the Department of Corrections. Asked if she plans to make any changes to the Transition to Work program, which is on track to employ four prisoners at UNICE's local fish processing plant, a Dunleavy spokesperson said, quote, "It is a good question, but we won't be able to give a firm answer right now. She hasn't even unpacked her boxes yet," end quote. Dahlstrom is resigning her seat in the Alaska House to take the DOC's top job. On her election website, the Eagle River resident describes herself as tough on crime, writing, quote, "It is our responsibility to provide law enforcement the tools to do their jobs, mandate punishments commensurate with the crime, and prioritize areas of concern," end quote. Dahlstrom replaces Dean Williams, who led the department under former Governor Bill Walker and who lobbied the Unalaska City Council to approve local participation in Transition to Work. Last month, when councilors asked whether the new administration might make changes, Williams' assistant, Dave Bakker, said he didn't expect anything major. He said the program is aimed at reducing Alaska's high reoffense rate by helping inmates to prepare for life after prison.
Everyone who has participated in this program has never been re-erected. So I can't speak for the incoming administration or a new commissioner, but I think that they would look at the success of the program, not stop it.
UNICEF's inmate employees are expected to start as early as January and work through the winter fishing season. Counselors approved the local program as a trial run that prohibits the participation of sex offenders, allows Unalaska to opt out at any time, and requires the state to cover all costs, including electronic monitoring equipment that will dictate where prisoners can and can't go. In other appointment news, Ben Stevens, the former Alaska Senate president, once investigated for corruption by federal authorities, has landed a job in the Dunleavy administration. Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk has that story.
Stevens will work as one of Dunleavy's three policy advisors, focusing on transportation, legislation, and fishing, says Dunleavy spokesman Jeff Turner. Stevens is a son of the late U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Ben Stevens spent 5 years in the state Senate after Governor Tony Knowles appointed him to an open seat in 2001. He ran unopposed in 2002, then didn't seek re-election in 2006 amid the federal corruption investigation. The FBI raided Stevens' offices in the summer of 2006, as well as those of at least five other state legislators. Attention on Stevens focused on consulting work he said he did for oilfield services company Vico while he was serving in the Senate. The payments totaled more than $240,000 over 5 years, and Stevens never said exactly what he did to earn the money. At the trial of a different state lawmaker in 2007, a Vico executive said on the witness stand that he had bribed Stevens and another senator. But prosecutors never charged Stevens with a crime, and he always denied wrongdoing. Last year, Stevens said he was considering the idea of running in the Republican primary for governor, though he never entered the race. He's been working as president of Cook Inlet Tug and Barge, which operates from the Aleutians to southeast Alaska. As a consultant earlier in his career, many of Stevens' clients came from the fishing industry. They included fish processors, a group of crab processors, and an organization representing Bering Sea and Gulf of Alaska pollock trawlers. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.
We'll bring you more on the team that Dunleavy's assembling to lead Alaska as the new governor continues to announce his appointments. The federal government has kicked in an initial $5 million to help Alaska deal with the immediate effects of last week's earthquake, but the big money will have to come from Congress. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski says disaster funds for the Anchorage area will likely be included in a bill with aid for the victims of California wildfires.
What we've been told is we'll have that opportunity when the wildfires are addressed in January.
Congress is working on a disaster spending bill that has to pass this month, but Murkowski says it's mostly for hurricane damage. So with the January timeline, she's been telling Alaska agencies they should not rush in their assessments of the schools and bridges that were damaged in the magnitude 7 quake.
Take the time to get it right. Take the time to get it accurate. We don't want to be in a situation where we have underestimated what the extent of the actual damage is.
Congress is sometimes slow to pass disaster relief bills, and according to Murkowski, it's good that the fate of Alaska's money will be tied to that of a much more populous state.
There is a great many people in California that are hoping that we get moving very, very quickly in January with a disaster bill that will help address their issues as well. So Alaska is not alone in this.
Murkowski and Senator Dan Sullivan were in Alaska early this week to view the damage and response operations after the quake. The Iditarod Trail Committee released a statement this week clearing four-time champion Dallas Seavey of any wrongdoing in a doping incident that happened more than a year and a half ago, Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
The race's board of directors says it doesn't believe Seavey had any involvement with or knowledge of the events that led to the positive drug test on his team. They also apologized for negative publicity that the incident caused him. In 2017, after arriving in Nome, several of Seavey's sled dogs tested positive for the banned pain medication Tramadol. Seavey has maintained that he never gave the drug to any of his dogs and has vocally criticized how the investigation was handled by ITC and its past board members. In the latest statement, Seavey struck a conciliatory note, saying he was grateful for the resolution under the new board and the steps that race officials have taken to increase safety along the trail. but CV stopped short of saying whether or not he'll be signing up to race the Iditarod in March. Reached by phone, he says he's considering his options, but the decision doesn't have anything to do with the race's management. The 2019 Iditarod starts March 2nd. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
So far, about 50 mushers have registered to run the 1,000-mile sled dog race across Alaska. Once again, that will start in early March. And that is the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.